Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Party listeners, we are back. It's me, Sandy. I have Miss Bess here.
Miss Bessie.
Miss Bess. There's a lot of S sound with that.
Yeah, Bess Matassa. Yeah, I planned it all this way.
Miss Bess Matassa.
And Sandy Citron.
Oh my God. We're just like slithering snakes over
truly
here.
Truly acknowledge the serpentine nature of our union.
And we're hosting Star Party.
My, oh my. It actually feels quite Piscean. I mean, not that Pisces is associated with the serpentine, but there's something about the slithery, slippery, slip and slide nature of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I at least will want to talk about, you know, the difference between the groundedness and the ungroundedness. That ungroundedness that we think of with Pisces season, and how snakes are very grounded because they just slither along.
Yeah.
So lots coming up ahead. But before we get into that, Bess, I'm super excited to hear about your announcement. Would you like to share?
Oh, yeah. I have a little announcement. It was sort of soft announced in the show notes during Aquarius season, but now I'm going to hard announcement. I'm really going to do a hard. We're going to like jump the gun and go straight into Aries season here. We're going to have a hard announcement. So I'm so excited to be offering the second iteration of my year-long astrology and tarot immersion course. It's 12 months with me, every week, material, monthly calls, and it's really a way to walk through and gain fluency in these languages in real time. So for example, Aries season, where the course starts, we kick it off with Mars, the first house, the rising, Queen of Wands. So basically, it's a walk through the 12 zodiacal symbols and all of the little family of cards and planets and houses that step forward to support that symbol. It's both for newbies who are looking for kind of a way to vivify and make really accessible and immediate these symbols in real time. And then I think it also quite works well for, you know, more seasoned practitioners, because it's my, you know, kooky, wild whateverness of a style. It's a lot of sensory, you know, just as you would think of as an immersion for any language course, where you would go to a new place and just be dropped down in the middle of a square and have to like figure out how to order your coffee and, you know, what was going on and all of sort of the colors and shapes and sounds. It's that sort of experience, but with astrology and tarot. You can find out all the details, and there's a special discount code for listeners, and all of that's in the show notes. And if you have any
questions, can you just say the discount code on the podcast?
Well, I haven't created the discount code.
Okay.
There's like all of this thing with like the discount. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, okay.
Yeah.
I
think it should be Star School, which I think it was the discount code from the last one in the show notes. But
nice.
Definitely check the show notes to ensure that you have the correct discount code.
Yes. Email us if you can't find it.
Yeah.
Bess and Sandy at starpartypodcast.com. We want to make sure you get that discount and you get all set up. And I was just curious, like, what are the calls like the monthly calls?
Yeah. So there's one for each sort of family of symbols. And they're really about, you know, a lot of the materials that come weekly are about sort of dropping you into the feeling tone of these planets and these houses and cards. And then on the calls, it's a little bit more of a practicum. You know, we'll look at charts, we'll pull cards, we'll dialogue about our experience kind of wading through this energy. So it's much more of a cosmic conversation.
So people can ask you questions.
It's a full conversation.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. So
I want to do it.
Yeah, come on. Get the discount code. No, it's for you. Honorary. Yeah. The discount should be Star School, but I have to ensure that there's like all this, you know, jazzies behind the scenes.
People will find it. They'll find the show notes. If they can't, they'll email.
And they go to your website, right, to sign up for this?
So yeah, yeah. But the link will be in the show notes. Everything will be there so they can
Yeah,
just
but if you can't get to the show notes, you got to just go straight to the...
Do people have a hard time getting to show notes?
Yeah, sometimes. It's like another step. What if they just go to bestmatasa.com?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
Great. So, Best, you want to start us off here and have us dip our toes into the primordial sea of Pisces season?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. And dip is really the key word here. I think we were just talking about this immersion and the course, the year-long course being immersion. Mm-hmm. And this is really a word that's been coming through for me a lot lately as I've been feeling into Pisces energy. And it's interesting because I think that there's a lot of talk around this archetype that has to do with a kind of disappearance and, you know, foreshadowing again, our listener's question, which will be an interesting, kind of discussion of disappearance. But this idea of like a disappearance from that Pisces is somehow sometimes like kind of connected to this idea of like touching out or removing or, departing or kind of almost not being present because it's already sort of pixelated somehow, like in the ether. And I started to really feel into another quality of immersion this time around that actually goes into really deeply. And maybe there's a disappearance as almost a kind of absorption, which the word absorption always conjures Taurus energy to me, which is sort of an interesting then I think that Taurus and Pisces actually have. But I pulled a card when I was first sort of investigating Pisces energy this time around, and I actually pulled the Ten of Cups, which in the tarot is a card to me that connects to Pisces and specifically to Mars in Pisces. And it's really, I don't know, it was just sort of interesting to me to start to consider almost the extreme presence that Pisces sometimes requires of us. To go into, to be with, to stay with, rather than to depart from. And like also what those two things mean, because I guess there is some departure from a solid sense of self or a stuck sense of how things are that's required when we fully immerse and fully like arrive in presence. And then I went into like a really trippy space, and I'm not sure that I fully have figured out how to articulate this. But I just kept hearing this question in my mind, what if all roads lead to Pisces? What if the whole story of the zodiac is that every sign is heading toward Pisces? How would we reconceptualize the whole of astrology if we considered inside of each of the other 11 archetypes what their relationship is to Pisces? That maybe because Pisces is the current that courses under everything, how will each sign get there? How will each sign reach the end of the road? And what does that journey look like? And from like the resistance maybe to that in their own way and style, each of the signs, to the release into the reality of Pisces. And I just started playing in my mind with like almost walking each of the other 11 archetypes toward Pisces and like seeing what happens, like when that trajectory is followed. And then I started to think a lot about, which I think a lot about immersion generally, but the idea of what it would then mean to also apply a kind of Pisces immersive lens to each sign's life world. Like, what does it mean to really go in and be with and be like fully dipped into each life world? So yeah, that's where I am.
I love everything you just said. And it's a really interesting, it's almost like helps explain what I wanted to say much more. Like you just did the thorough explanation that I wasn't going to be able to do. So thank you. So I was thinking about it as like that Pisces season for all of us is an opportunity to let go, which is something that I would normally think of with a Scorpio season, because I think of letting go with Scorpio. But the letting go I think of with Scorpio is like letting go of an emotional processing, you know, like a letting go of a releasing of what you're holding on to. And the letting go here with Pisces season is like a letting go of expectation of what the earth world kind of requires of you to release and to be fully present, kind of as you're saying, to let go of artifice or let go of expectation, let go of tradition or let go of any context of anything except yourself and your deep, true soul, and kind of just be in your immersive world, be present where you are. And I was thinking about what this would be like for the different signs to really let go, or really for the different elements to kind of release and to be fully embodied, as you're talking about, to be fully present. So thank you for setting my thing up so well. because I wasn't like going to explain all of
volleyball
that.
Volleyball team.
Yeah,
over
exactly.
Here.
We're just set, bump, spike. Yeah. But so I was thinking about, like, what does letting go or releasing expectation look like for the fire signs? And so when you put the kind of Pisces filter over the fire signs, it is almost like letting go of having to be something, or letting go of the ego, letting go of having to, you know, spark up and say, I'm here and I'm, you know, sharing my creative. It's just like, it's just let go of all that and just be. Can you do that? You know, sometimes it's very uncomfortable for the fire signs to try to let go of ambition or let go of an ego thing, right?
Speaking to like my deep experience in this moment too. I feel like I'm really being beckoned into the beingness.
The beingness and the not knowingness. And sometimes I think of Pisces or Neptune, well, also Pluto and Scorpio, you know, but sometimes I think about it as like this void where you're just kind of floating and you don't have arms or legs or eyes or senses, and you just kind of are this essence, this essential thing. And so, yeah, and then maybe for the earth signs, so much of what the earth signs want to do is to do something, to be productive, to build something, to create something that will last or something that contains or organizes or structures. And so here with Pisces season, can you earth sign people, you know, can you just let go of all that activity in some way? You know, not that you really can, of course, none of us can. We're trying to make ourselves breakfast and, you know, continue
let
on.
Let go of breakfast. Become a breatharian. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, don't really, but in your mind's eye, how do you let go of what you think you have to do? You know, or what, are you feeling that you have to hold everything up and you have to keep all the plates spinning? And what happens if you don't, like even just one of the plates, you know, in some way, what happens then? Will everything fall apart? And then maybe for the air signs, it's about letting go of all of the thinking that you're doing, people, the thinking about and the planning ahead and the futuring, is that a word, you know, and the mental constructs that you're coming up with. And what happens if you just let go of that for a little while? And then I thought that for the water signs, you know, it was something else, right? Because the water signs are all trying to be in the feelings and have the somatic experience and be present with themselves and the current of their life in some way. But what if it's about letting go of outer expectations for you water signs? You know, like letting go of like what the world wants you to be in some way, or how you were supposed to process your feelings, you know, oh, don't cry water signs, or be this instead. Or what about letting go of all of that layers? It might be hard because it's so internalized. Our sense of what is wanted of us is so internalized and so hard to see. What if you let go of what is wanted of you?
Yeah. I'm having all these thoughts because when you're talking about the water energy, you know, it's interesting, like years and years ago, I feel like when I was first starting to do readings, I had almost like this expectation sometimes where I thought that like a very watery person, and it was also like my lack of experience with my own water energy, you know, not presenting in my chart, but just sort of in my life. And I always expected water sign people to come and present really emotionally. You know, it was almost like my fire sign lens sort of projected onto this water sign person. And they were often like the most inscrutable, sort of held, at least in my estimation, sort of a privately facing people that I would, you know, in the early days. And what you're saying about, it's almost like the water sign journey, you know, if all roads are leading to Pisces, is like the wearing away of the resistance to the original knowing of the quality. You know, like I feel like there's all this over culturally where water sign heavy people are told to manage or contain or, you know, reel back in and all of that. And that, you know, like the invitation, like you're saying, is, you know, maybe around the recuperation of the narrative of the resistance, or like that this is all these other signs have, like fire has, I have to be something. Earth has, I have to do something. You know, air says, I have to think something. And the imperative to feel is actually not the thing to release in water energy, right, but the thing to release into, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I got chills. Perfect.
And then like the undone, like when you said the word undone, I feel like, wait, I just lost my, I'm having a Pisces moment now, around the undoing. Now I
don't even remember saying it. So
there was something I felt like I was going to say that was quasi profound around undone, but now it has come undone. It has come undone.
It came undone. But, it might come back.
But there is this undoing of sort of the laces and the constrictions and the, you know, and like, I think there's, I remember what I was going to say. I feel like what you were saying about, it doesn't need to be like you know, don't eat breakfast or you know, blow up your job or whatever. Like there can be these tiny, tiny micro moments of inviting Pisces in. I think sometimes the fear is over culturally, if we invite a little bit of this energy in, even with Pisces, especially with Pisces strong people, that they're going to lose it. You know, they're going to be washed out to sea. They're going to be flooded with feeling. They're going to never do anything, make anything in this world. And it's like, I think we can dose Pisces more than we sometimes realize we can. Like we can get a little drop, you know?
I like that.
Just like a little dropper for like a little doop.
Yes. You know? Amazing. So we have a question.
Should we jump into it? Yeah. Let me bring it up and read this beautiful question. And this is from Carly, who said she's okay with us mentioning her name as Carly. Okay. So we'll call her Carly. And her question is, I've always been comfortable spending time alone, but sometimes wonder if I lean into being alone too much. I can struggle with boundaries or being more concerned with those around me over myself. I guess my question is, when does alone turn into hiding? Is this a common Pisces thing? I want to ask about how this relates to my struggles to connect romantically, but maybe my question is getting too long. And then there's an ellipses, ... which feels like a very Pisces like outro of the question.
That's awesome.
So thank you so much for that question, Carly. And Sandy, take it away.
Yes. All right. So I'm just kind of looking at the question again as I'm thinking. So when does alone turn into hiding? And is this a common Pisces thing? Well, first of all, being alone, yes, is a common Pisces thing, because being alone is when Pisces has the space and the time to kind of catch up with where they are in that moment and drop down and kind of be in themselves. And as you said, so well, I mean, you really are, I think you know, Carly, but you really are encapsulating a common Pisces experience in everything that you wrote here, and which is why we chose this question, you know, because it is going to be true for many people with Pisces, what you were talking about. And then also for all of us in Pisces season, I think that as we're moving through the season, this question is interesting, you know, thinking about our boundaries and struggling with being more concerned with how other people are feeling. And part of that is because Pisces is typically so empathic and so sensitive. I like to think, when I think of Pisces, I think of like a sea anemone, you know, that's like waving all these little fronds and feeling and moving with the currents of the ocean and picking up everything, like super sensitive to everyone's moods and feelings, which is what creates that concern with other people, because you're feeling it. You sometimes are feeling exactly what they're feeling. And so, of course, you're going to be concerned because it's affecting you, you know. And so that does bring to mind, you know, for anyone with a lot of Pisces, or for those of us who are traveling through Pisces season and want to think about this more, like, how do we have boundaries around what is coming through to us, you know? And often that's going to be an intentional boundary or an energetic kind of boundary that we create, you know, that says, like, I want to feel my own feelings. And often asking even, like, is this my feeling or is this someone else's feeling? This can all help. So I just wanted to talk about the feelings first, because if part of the reason there's a retreat happening is so that you can kind of disengage from other people's feelings and kind of just have your own feelings, it's good to have a little more control over it than just to like have to get away, right? That maybe there's some other tools there. And when I say it's good, you know, like this is a journey and a process. It might take years to feel comfortable with some of these tools to create boundaries. And if you are curious about like how to create psychic or energetic boundaries, you know, which I think is good for all of us, I recommend researching and like, you know, go on YouTube. There's a million people who have a million different ways to, you know, create psychic boundaries. I personally have found for myself, I had to try many different ways to find the one that works for me. And I think that each person has their own really unique kind of almost language with it. And so don't be frustrated, but don't be, I can't think of words today. It's always a spicy season. It's so funny.
I know.
But, you know, this happens every year as we've been doing this. Every time we talk about Pisces, we can't talk, you know. Oh my God. But yeah, you know, be persistent because you'll find something that really does work for you. You might have to ask people over and over again until you find the exact right method that works for you. But yes, Carly, I think that having some more energetic boundaries so that you can feel buffered as you move through, you know, down the sidewalk, as you're going, you know, into a store, or as you're with your family, or as you're with someone you really want to be emotionally engaged with and close to, that there's boundaries still feel like they're kind of working for you. So, and then the kind of conceptual side of it, saying like, is this my feeling? You can ask yourself that and you'll get an answer probably. So, I'm like kind of jumping around with this question. So I've always been comfortable spending time alone. Sometimes I wonder if I lean into being alone too much. Well, let's look at your chart. So, you know, there's a few things, right? There's the sun in Pisces. It is in the 11th house and it's really well aspected. There's a lot of soothing aspects. So one of your gifts throughout your life has always been to be able to have great ideas, 11th house, and to be able to have this incredible creative world, this incredibly rich inner world that is where you are connected emotionally to yourself. You're really supporting yourself there. So it's such a benefit for you in your life. And then with the 11th house, sometimes it can feel like, you know, and then you also have Mercury and Aquarius. So this is like kind of repeated in the chart. There can sometimes be a feeling of, you know, I'm alone in the group anyway. Like when I'm in the group with the people, they don't really get me anyway. I have to work extra hard to like to feel kind of like a part of the group in myself. Other people always see you as being like a very like accepted part of the group, but you yourself may feel really detached from the group, or like you're kind of like an alien there, or that the way that you're thinking in the group is just so different from how others are thinking. And that's one of your skills and one of your benefits, but it can sometimes make it harder to be just really like, I just want to go out and be with the people because you're doing that extra work. And so it's great. This is why I love astrology, just to bring up that awareness of the chart, you know, with that Mercury and Aquarius, you're just thinking so differently. So when you do want to get close and be around people, I would look for those weirdos, you know, those people who are thinking differently, just like you, and who are really accepting of everyone who's very different, and that you're not really trying to conform to something, you know, thinking again about the water signs, like letting go of the expectations, letting go of that is really important here, if that makes sense. And so, when does alone turn into hiding is a great question here. So you also have your moon in Cancer, Carly. And so, you know, this is a very internal, you're really wanting to feel your feelings. You're really wanting to be in your little cove. You're really wanting to be in that private world. So yeah, when does it turn into hiding? I guess hiding is something that we do when we're afraid, right? Like hiding is because we're scared. And so alone is being alone to be with your feelings, and hiding is because you're scared. So that's the way I'm interpreting that right now. That might not be what you meant. You know, it's funny, like I don't see you as someone who's particularly afraid of things. Like you've got a lot of power planets here. You got your Venus in Aries, you know, past life warrior here from the Venus and Aries in the 12th house. You've got your Mars in Capricorn. It makes you very functional. You're very busy. You're getting a lot done. You know, Mercury in Aquarius is not really afraid of much. But that moon in Cancer is like, I just really, you know, can I be respected and understood for the deep feeling person that I am? So maybe there's a pain point there or something to be afraid of there. Like, will people really get how I feel? Ah, it's easier to be home, then I'm not so exposed. I'm not so vulnerable. Which maybe brings this into the last part of the question. I want to ask how this relates to my struggles to connect romantically. So yeah, you know, if there is that fear of exposure, of emotional exposure, will they really let me be how I feel and who I am? You know, it might be easier to say, I'll just stay home. And I don't know your situation, your romantic situation here, but, you know, it can be hard to be vulnerable. That can be really scary. And then maybe that's what feels so scary, is being vulnerable and opening up, because maybe you'll get hurt, you know? And so then with Pisces, when that stuff does show up where it's like, ugh, this is going to be hard, there can be a tendency to kind of say, I'm going to disconnect here and I'm going to float back and I'm going to float into my little world where I don't have to worry about that. And I know how to disconnect because that's a safe thing for me. So yeah, there might be something there with that moon opposite Mars. The Mars is in the eighth house and the moon is in the second house, where it's like that question about, hey, am I going to be safe with someone? Can I really open myself up and be vulnerable? You know, that's really scary. And so, yeah, there's something where you're being called to push and pull there. You're being called to really, you know, it's like, I don't think all of us have to connect romantically, but you want to. And that's something that's important to you because of that Mars in the eighth house and the moon in the second house. It's like, I want to merge. People. I want to get merging. I want to be connecting. And so, yeah, I think it does. I would see the Pisces and the alone as the kind of, it's like the valve release when the tension gets too difficult. So when it's like, it's too scary to open up and be vulnerable because I'm not going to know when I can trust. Okay, I'll just go be alone. That's easier. And so maybe the question there for you in a 3-minute kind of talk about your chart is like, well, how do I know I'm safe when I get hurt and betrayed in a relationship, like, or when I'm connecting? Like, how do I then know I'll be okay when that happens? Because it will happen. Like, that's life, you know? Like, it's going to happen. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get betrayed. You know, that's part of it. And so what happens then? Do you die? Do you disappear? What happens, you know? And so I would kind of maybe question that whole thing and like, well, the real thing with the moon in the second house, the moon in Cancer in the second house, is like, oh, I trust myself. I know that whatever things have happened in the past, here I am. I'm a rock. I'm going to come back, you know? And that's the kind of the thing, I guess. I mean, I can't really get into it more than that, I think, in this podcast. But I love the question. So thank you for sending it. Yeah. It was really beautiful. You have a great chart.
A super special edition for Pisces season. We're just going to do Pisces for the rest of the year.
I actually thought that earlier when we were talking. When you said all roads go back to Pisces, I was like, wait, we could have an episode for every sign leading. To Pisces.
Yeah. It's so interesting. When you were just speaking, Sandy, the last little bit, I was thinking, well, and when you were speaking about the 11th house and the Mercury in Aquarius, I was thinking about the idea of participation, that there's a lot in this chart that's about that call and what it looks like to sort of join, participate, emerge. One of the first thoughts I had about this chart, and I think it's something that, regardless of your own, you know, if you're a listener that's not Carly, you can also sort of play with this. And it's something that I've become like kind of obsessed with lately, is the edge, or, you know, I guess it's the cusp literally, but the edge experience between water signs and fire signs. And I think, you know, we're at this point where now we're entering into Pisces season, we're going to be emerging into Aries. So there's that. But every time we get to that kind of cusp or that edge, I think that there's a real intense, I mean, not that there aren't, there is an intensity moving between other elements, but we're coming out of water to come into fire, especially between Pisces and Aries. And we're coming back to life. We're emerging out of an immersive or a fused state. And I don't want to get all like weird about this, but in so many ways, like that edge like mimics the original birth that we all went through to get here. And there was some, you know, some like struggle in that to like emerge from this soup into the individuated process. And so I think these seasons, these water seasons, then into a fire season, and when that edge is present in somebody, it can activate a lot around the idea of what it looks like to come to life or to come back to life or to enter. You know, and I was thinking a lot about this chart in terms of, and this might sound like kind of a silly, strange thing, but almost a practice around, Carly, like what it looks like when you come back and arrive. Say you've been alone or say you've been away and you're planning your entrance. And this could, you know, this could be super like mundane at first, but like, what does it look like to gather yourself to yourself before you decide to come back? Whether it's like return a phone call or come down the stairs if you've been upstairs and there's people gathered down there, or walk into a room where there's, you know, whatever that is where you're coming from and birthing into, I think it could be maybe useful and interesting to see what it feels like for you to be in a little bit more possession over your process of coming back to life when you've been in one of these moments of greater aloneness. And the other phrase I kept hearing when I was looking at your chart was, whether you're gone or whether you're here, can you be here for it? And I think this speaks a little bit to what we were saying in the beginning of the episode around the edge, the subtle distinction in Pisces between a disappearance and a going into, and just noticing that in yourself and like noticing where, how it feels to be present to your own absence. That sounds quite strange, but like to be really with yourself maybe in those moments where you're alone, or does it feel like you're even sort of doubly disassociated or floating above? Like, have you both left the scene and then also left yourself on top of that? Like, and what does that kind of look like? And, you know, I think it's really interesting to consider, and you were talking about it, Sandy, this idea of there's some places in this chart that feel, I don't want to say hard, but they feel, you know, they're pretty like, You know, we've got Venus in Aries, we've got Mars in Cap, we've got even that Mercury in Aquarius that are a little drier energies. They're a little like, just do it, just bust, you know, like, and then this other story that's going on. And so I think being sweet to yourself around any hardness that comes up around self-critique about the softer moment or the moment that you want to retreat or the moment that you want to, because those moments, I think a lot of your planets, the Mercury in Aquarius, the Mars in Cap, the Venus in Aries, have another agenda. And maybe they're, I don't want to say bullying the Pisces Cancer, but they're real like heavy hitters, strong, you know, kind of, I'm not saying that Pisces and obviously Cancer have their own sources of strength, but that the voices of those may be getting louder in some of those moments, and to notice what that conversation looks like around forcing yourself to like get back at it, get into it, all of those kinds of energies. And I think also it's quite interesting, and you spoke about this, Sandy, the past life warriorship, that this Venus in Aries, you know, if we think about Venus writ large as kind of the dilating mechanism in us and how we kind of, you know, open to receive all sorts of pleasure, romantic connection, everything, where we sort of merge, you know, we see Venus in Aries on some level as almost like a paradoxical energy, because if the urge is to merge in Venus on some level or to dilate too, Aries has a very different, you know, agenda than merging. And so I think maybe playing around a little bit with like noticing how you draw things to yourself, because I think underneath this question maybe is the fear that if I continue to spend time alone or I continue to sort of retreat or I'm doing that too much, I'm going to risk not having the connection. And I think that that's, you know, that's obviously like a real anxiety and point of inquiry. And also that feels a little bit like the Venus in Aries in the 12th house speaking, like I've got to hunt down my dinner, my desired dinner. You know, if I'm just stuck over here in my room feeling my feelings, I'm never going to meet the person. I've got to go on the hunt. you know, and I'm not saying like, okay, if you like hermit yourself away for all time, like somehow someone's just going to sniff you on the breeze and come, but maybe so, like maybe there's other ways to attract or to think about attraction or drawing toward yourself that don't have to force you to take an action. And I think it also really connects to your birth card, which, you know, you're a number 9, you're a hermit birth card. So this is a Virgo energy, and there's a lot of solitude in that. And again, solitude doesn't mean disconnection or you're not going to have the opportunity to have romantic connection or anything of that. But I think it's a little bit of a self-soothing around that, the force to go on the hunt or the over-cultural narrative that says, oh, I've got to be on whatever it is, a million apps or out there meeting people or out there, you know, and then also to be in a little bit more possession over your, those moments of reappearance or those moments where you kind of show back up. And I think this really connects too, to your Taurus rising, even to Capricorn, to your moon in Cancer, certainly your Vesta in Cancer, this idea that you're a very rhythmic being. You know, there's these kind of conceal and reveal, especially in Moon in Cancer. It's exposed, it's available, and then it's back in. We're talking about the tides here. And so like, how can you start to feel more in charge of your own cycles of conceal and reveal without feeling like you're provoked into a retreat or you're sort of holed up and you can't come back? And maybe it's almost charting. It's like you would chart a cycle of bleeding, you know, if you're a bleeding person. Starting to chart what that looks like to you, you know, how long do I sometimes go away? What sort of moments, like when do I want to come back? Like noticing that circadian rhythm of your conceal and reveal. And then the last thing I might say is that, you know, we're talking about a time where, you know, Jupiter's in Aries now, Saturn's moving into Pisces, I think later March, right? So during Pisces season, and both of these kinds of activations around that edge in you, that Aries Pisces edge. And I see this a lot. I feel like I see this a lot in clients that have planets placed, you know, especially personal planets and sun, moon placed in Pisces Aries, that knowing that edge in themselves and knowing what it feels to come back after a disappearance and to be, to be in ownership of those that process is really activated. And when I think about Saturn going into Pisces, and this is true for, you know, everyone, sort of an invitation, as this planet transits Pisces, I think about in the tarot, the Eight of Cups. And this is the card where you see sort of somebody going walkabout or sort of disappearing from a scene, you know, into the night. And the idea of, yeah, of just being really curious about your own sort of cadence of disappearance and rearrival. And I think I'll leave it there.
Wow. So we should always do joint readings. That would
I know.
Be great.
I know.
You know,
yeah. Listeners, if you're interested, yeah.
We covered a lot there. That was really.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Should we close it out with a little tarot treasure?
Tarot treasure for Pisces.
I was into pulling the one card. I think we did that on the last epi. We just did one. So let's shuffle it up and see what emerges from the immersion. All right, Pisces. Pisces season, what do you want us to know? What do you want us to know about this archetype? Okay. So the card I pulled is the Two of Pentacles. This is a card that I traditionally associate with Capricorn, actually. And with the energy of, you know, traditionally astrologically, this card is associated with Jupiter in Capricorn. And for me, this card has a lot to do with undoing. And it's interesting because when we think about Capricorn, usually we think about constructedness, we think about continued application of will over time. But this card gives us a different kind of expansive quality of Capricorn, where it's like, we become sort of bigger than something naturally. And so other things fall off. You know, we see this card in the Rider-Waite-Smith. We see somebody trying to juggle things and then maybe dropping something. I don't really remember the image, but the implication being that you can't, you know, hold it all. And there's something about this card that often comes through for me around situations where, you know, you're naturally just bigger, and it doesn't mean like better or you've moved on or this person job relationship is not good enough for you anymore. It's just like you don't like fit, like you're expanding in some way. And so that starts to slough off the body and drop off. So I think that there is kind of you know, if we look at the arc between Capricorn and Pisces, you know, to know that there's this sort of maximum presence that we reach in the material world in Capricorn, and then we're headed to this much more expansive place through Aquarius, through Pisces, and that it's not really about the application. There's a part of Capricorn that isn't necessarily about the application of will. That's about the natural sort of pageantry of the presence of a power that's like everlasting. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think that this energy has something to do with kind of troubling our or complicating our binary that we have between even signs in the zodiac that quote unquote do and signs that do less. And I think we naturally we get into like a sticky place where we will read those, we will read signs in certain ways that way. And there's a presence and a power of undoing. And what I mean by undoing is not quite the same as like non-doing. I think it's like, I don't know, we could get into a whole other conversation about this, but like the idea of leaving a space or creating a naturally expanded space where something just sort of drops off your agenda list or you're not available anymore in this area because you've sort of oozed over here. And I think that there is actually like we so heavy-handedly sometimes critique Pisces for not having enough boundaries, or that's like the issue. But there's something I'm thinking of now that it's like when Pisces allows itself to really expand and actually be in a state of like its own moreness, which I think is a struggle for a lot of the water signs, excuse me, like the idea of like, am I too much? Are my feelings too big? Like all of this. And it's almost like now I'm thinking of the bigness of water and the bigness of fire. And fire maybe doesn't have as much of an issue with its own bigness. And we're kind of teaching people with that have gone crazy with fire energy to reel in a little bit. But with water energy, it's, I don't know. Now I'm thinking of like the bigness of an emotion, like letting what happens when you actually let that like fill the space, it creates a natural boundary because you're taking up room, like with your own emotional presence. I don't know. I'm like riffing too crazy and I'm getting hungry.
You're
so
doing great.
When I get hungry, crazy things happen. Crazy things are said.
You have to start bringing more snacks to this party.
I know. We talk so much about the metaphorical snacks, but we need the literal snacks.
Actual snacks.
Yeah. I need some, maybe some things that are not too crunchy so we don't have to have people listen to us chewing them.
So I love this message for Pisces season, you know, just the sense of like, how are you kind of getting bigger and soaking up into maybe, you know, your spiritual self or to the essence of who you are, and to soak that up and then let go of some of the things that you don't need right now.
Yeah. And that release doesn't have to be it can be a release of now I've lost it. Now I've lost it.
Yeah. This is where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is where we're supposed to be. It's the time, you know, we're holding to the boundaries in a way that we need to do, and we're letting everything else kind of float up, which is exactly what we should be doing in Pisces season.
Yeah.
Pick a few boundaries and then let the rest kind of float and explore.
And know that you're like, I think it's like boundaries too don't have to necessarily be a resistance. They can be a spilling over of you that then creates a, like sometimes we think of our spilling over as like, oh, I don't have any boundaries. But when we let ourselves take up the fullness of us, that like then everybody else, and I'm thinking of this as like a beautiful seg into, you know, foreshadowing Aries season, then everyone has, you know, a card like the Emperor.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own imprint because I'm the natural shape of me. I'm not trying to sort of pull back. I'm not trying to kind of manage my shape. So I'm just taking my shape. And then you're able to take your shape over here rather than thinking of boundaries as I have to like rein something in, actually letting it be an effective spillage, you know, sometimes or natural expansion.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. All right, spillage, squeezies, soaks, skinny dips, smooshes,
slithering
in serpentine sensitivity. Wishing you the full emotional range wherever you are, and we will see you for the emergence of Aries season.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to ask a question about your own chart, you can do so at starpartypodcast.com/question. and visit my website, that's sandycitron.com, for courses and mini readings and regular astrology readings. I'll be doing one question readings on new moons and full moons. So sign up at my website, sandycitron.com. And Besmatasa's website is besmatasa.com. We'll see you soon.